Hello and welcome to another Society for Neo-Latin Studies podcast. My name is William Barton and I'm joined today by Guillermo Alvar Nuño from the University of Alcalá in Spain. And we're going to be talking to you today about a text by Spanish humanist Juan Luis Vives. Vives was a giant of early 16th century humanism. He was born in Valencia in Spain in 1492 and would go on to die in Bruges in 1540. Vives came from a Jewish family, but was forced to convert to Christianity by the church policy in Spain at the time. Like many members of the country's Jewish community, Vives and his family continued to practice Judaism in secret. The Inquisition found out and opened a process against them, and the young Juan Luis would go on to lose both his father and his mother to brutal ends. On leaving Spain to avoid similar persecution from the Inquisition, Vives went to study at the Sorbonne in Paris in 1509. He would obtain his doctoral degree in 1512. By 1519, he was already a professor of humanities at the University of Leuven. He would later be invited to England, to the court of Henry VIII, where the king's daughter, with Catherine of Aragon, needed a tutor. Vives would settle in Corpus Christi College in Oxford, where earlier Vives' friend Erasmus had been based. Here at Corpus Christi, he taught mainly philosophy and later went on to get a degree in law. We've already mentioned Erasmus, but Vives was also a friend of Thomas More during his time in England, as well as Queen Catherine of Aragon. Indeed, Vives would lose favour with Henry VIII when he opposed Henry's divorce from Queen Catherine. He then moved back to Bruges, where he devoted the rest of his life to scholarship. Vives would die at 47. So now we'll talk a little bit about Vives' intellectual work. And here I'll hand over to Guillermo.
Hello, William. Hello, everybody. So the first thing we can say about his work is that it shook up the educational ideas of his time. Indeed, he was heavily opposed to scholastic methodology, and thus he proposed new ways of learning Latin and Greek by replacing old medieval texts by new ones. He also did write a Neo-Latin vocabulary, adapting words to the way of speaking of his time. He was the first person to study how the soul of individuals function, and thus made progress on the study of emotions, memory and learning. He also wrote on how the state should give assistance to poor people by economical relief and training for artisanal trade. We will read a text on Linguae Latinae Exercitatio, and I would just say about this work that it was dedicated to King Philip II of Spain when he was still a prince. And it was a revolutionary work, for it introduced Latin to students in the form of a conversational guide. The dialogues are sprinkled by moral thoughts, desired social behavior, and anecdotes from his youth. The Linguae Latinae Exercitatio was so successful that it spread fast throughout Europe, America, and Asia. It was such a bestseller that, as far as we know today, it had more than 600 editions.
So aside from the fact that this was obviously a very popular Neo-Latin text among contemporaries, as also today, we decided to pick this particular passage because it's a wonderful expression of the wonder of writing, or the wonder of the written word, which is important, I think, for many of us interested in Neo-Latin studies particularly. Moreover, it's a text of its time. We hear a small sideways reference to the discovery of America. We get the name of Antonio de Nebrija, one of the prime Spanish humanists of his time, alongside Vives, who's known for his work on the polyglot Bible, which was organized at Guillermo's home university in Alcalá. We also get a classical reference when one of the dialogue's two characters, Mendoza, refers to the memory of his friend Madricus as the jar of the Danaids, the mythological daughters of Danus, whose punishment consisted of having to fill a jar with holes in it. So we'll now hear an excerpt from the chapter entitled Scriptio of the first edition of this text from 1539. Ad fuisne hodie cum ille haberet orationem de utilitatibus scribendi?
Ubinam.
In auditorio Antonii Nebrisensis?
Minime vero. Se tu recense, si qua serunt memoriae.
Quid ego recensiam? Puff. Dixit tam multa ut omnia propria exciderint.
Ergo contigit tibi, quod de oasis angustio rifici Quintilianus dicit, quod superfusa memoris copian respunt, sem simsi in stiles recipiunt, se nil retinuisti penitus?
Propi modum nihil.
Aliquid igitur?
Per pusillum.
Istuc ipsum per pusillum fac mihi etiam commune.
Primum omnium, aebat esse perquam admirabile tantam varietatem humanarum, vocum paucis potuisse litteris comprendi. Dende amicos absentes posse inter se beneficio literalum colloqui. Adebat nihil esse visum mirabilius apud insulas istas, a regibus nostris reciens inventas, unde aurum advertur, quam posse inter se homines aperire quae sentiant. Tanto intervallo regionum missa cartula aliqua maculis nigris distincta. Haec ille, et alia per multa, quaesum oblitus.
Quandiu dixit?
Horas duas.
Ex tam longa oratione tam paucula mandasti memoriae?
Mandavi quidem memoriae, sed ea noluit retinere.
Planedolium habes filiarum Danae.
Were you there today when the oration on the usefulness of writing was delivered?
Oh, where?
In the lecture room of Antonio de Nebrija.
No, but tell me about it, if anything of it remains in your memory.
Oof, what should I say? He said so many things that almost everything has fallen from my mind.
Then it has happened to you what Quintilian said of the vessels with a narrow neck, that they spit out the supply of liquid when it is poured down on them, but if it is poured in slowly, they receive it. But haven't you retained anything of it at all?
Almost nothing.
Then at least something?
Very, very little.
Then communicate this very, very little to me.
Well, first of all, he said that it was absolutely wonderful that you can fit so great a variety of human sounds within so few characters. Then he said that absent friends are able to talk to one another by the help of letters. He added that nothing seemed more marvellous in these islands recently discovered by our kings, from where we get our gold, that men should be able to open up to one another on what they think from a long distance, by a piece of paper being sent with black stains marked on it. He also said this, that, and many other things, which I've forgotten.
How long did he speak?
2 hours.
And from so long an oration, have you only remembered the very little you have just said?
I did indeed commit it to memory, but my memory would not keep it all in.
Clearly, you have the white mouth jar of the daughters of Danaus.